To the ladies, God bless them. It's hard to live with them, but it's worse to live without them. To the ladies.
Living, 1948. Brought to you each week by NBC and its affiliates. Holds up its radio mirror to reflect another drama document.
Silver cords and apron strings. A rag, a bone, and a hank of hair.
The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world.
Greetings, males and females. This is your trouser-wearing narrator, Ben Grauer. Since the time man woke with wonder and found that while he'd been asleep, a woman had been fashioned from his rib, he's never ceased to wonder about her, or to give expression to his wonder. Today, 100 years after the Seneca Falls Convention, where the historic movement for women's rights and social freedom was launched in 1848... Today, we propose to see how far our lady friends have come in that century. We confess, however, to the same fears that plagued Count Leo Tolstoy, who, recognizing the danger of the subject, declared,
"When I have one foot in the grave, I will tell you the truth about women. I shall tell it, jump into my coffin, pull the lid over me and say, 'Do what you like now.'"
Well, we don't have one foot in the grave yet, but taking our courage in our hands and keeping an eye open for possible ambush, we cautiously turn the mirror of living 1948 upon the American woman. We give you first the sentiment, with our own asides, of the dean of a famous women's college.
"Man, who for centuries gloried in his complete dominance over woman, has suffered irretrievable loss, one by one, of all his cherished marks of superiority. The ballot he had..."
"I left John with the baby so I could vote for you, Congressman."
"Is his alone no longer. He could swagger as a soldier or a sailor, but now he finds also defending his country and theirs..."
"Waves, wax."
"He used to have safe refuge when things at home were not to his liking, in the corner saloon where the swinging door gave him security from troublesome women. But now, when he seeks comfort at his favorite saloon..."
"Pardon me, but would you push the pretzel bowl this way, please?"
"Woman, for long years, the barber shop, with its painted pole outside, was his resort and his alone."
"You're next, Mrs. Stevens."
"That, too, he has lost. He used to glory in his trousered legs, but..."
"How do you like my new slacks, Millicent?"
"Even that symbol of maleness, and hence superiority, are no longer his monopoly. And so it goes."
Manfully sensitive to the 100 years progress of women so aptly described by the famous dean, widely syndicated columnist Frederick Oatman rallies to the defense of his sex in a column entitled,
"But Can She Grow a Beard?"
Oatman lets go with all the keys on his typewriter.
"I hate to interrupt the applause, Dean, but you have overlooked a few things. Like swimming at the beach. I can do that in shorts and nothing else except my own manly beauty. I defy you to try that. I think women are wonderful, even if they don't wear pockets and their lips rub off on the water glasses. They weep when they lose an argument, stumble around in silly shoes, and have constant trouble holding up their socks. I'm not complaining. I love the ladies. My point is this, Dean. If I'm a sick and frustrated male and a menace to myself, then, ladies, you can't expect poor, tired little me to give you my seat on the subway."
Mm-hmm. The eternal feminine doth draw us upward.
Women at best are bad.
The society of women is the foundation of good manners.
The female of the species is more deadly than the male.
So it goes, this battle of the sexes. But leave us leave the noisy realm of argument and get down to cases. In the person of none other than William Lydgate, editor of the Gallup Poll, which appears in more than 100 newspapers, and whose business is facts. Mr. Lydgate, what do you know about women?
Not as much as I'd like, Mr. Grauer. But for a starter, this much I do know about women, as a result of one of our Gallup surveys. I know some things about Mrs. Average American Woman.
Well, can you give us a thumbnail sketch? That is, with safety, I mean.
I think so. Mrs. Average American Woman is 5'4" and weighs...
132 pounds.
She thinks her health would be better if...
I shouldn't eat so much.
She can't stand...
Darling, I wish you'd shave. That's stubble.
She believes of her husband...
George, you drink too much.
She prefers marriage to a career, but wants...
I want the word obey taken out of the marriage ceremony.
Thank you, Mr. Lydgate, and please stand by. Something tells me we're going to need you. But now, let's take a good hard look at some vital statistics.
Well, Mr. Thomas, looks like you have a son.
A boy? A boy? A boy!
In spite of the fact that for every 100 females, 105 males are born, today there are more than males. In short, on any Sadie Hawkins day, the masculine cry might well be...
Run for your lives, men! They got us outnumbered!
And the reason for this is...
I'll tell you. I'm a doctor.
Oh, yes, doctor.
The female by nature is just a better biological specimen.
Oh.
Girls resist disease better than boys during childhood. And woman, on the average, has better resistance to most diseases than man. They even seem to have more endurance than men.
How do you know?
Well, one day we made a test.
All right, folks, all right. Settle down, settle down. Now, I just got the idea. When the piano starts playing, you chorus girls dance. And you men start punching the bag. And let's see who lasts the longest. Okay, Joe, take it away. Hit it.
Come on, Joe.
What happened?
Well, after some minutes of vigorous sparring, the men boxers protested.
Oh, say, Doc, I'm pooped.
And the women?
The women. Even after hours of rehearsal, the women said...
Stop! What for? I could dance all night.
Say, Doc.
Yes, Ben?
You got an aspirin on you? So, there are more women than men. They're healthier than men. But are they outliving men in this year of 1948?
I'm an insurance man.
Well, I've got more than I can use, brother.
No. I just want to answer your question. Are women outliving men?
Yes.
That's right.
You mean they are?
Absolutely. The average age of death for a man is...
63 years old.
But for a woman...
68 years old.
My heavens.
I know nothing about which direction they go, Mr. Grauer. I only know that women don't start as soon.
Where did I put that aspirin? Now, are women smarter than we men?
In some ways, yes.
Who are you?
A psychiatrist.
What do you mean by an answer like that? Don't you know there are ladies present?
Women read and write faster and show less tension doing it. Oh. Women at all ages have a larger vocabulary than men.
Use it more.
They seem to possess superior judgment of human nature, are better in dealing with the public.
Hmm. Gentlemen, this man is a traitor. One more question, and we leave forever these vital statistics. Are women saner than men?
No, of course not.
We men are saner by far, aren't we, Mr. Perkins?
Sure, William. Come along now, like a good boy.
Just a minute, will you? You know about these things, don't you?
I've been a trained attendant for 20 years.
Are women saner?
Don't ask, mister.
You mean...
Last figures I saw, there were more of us admitted to hospitals for mental disease than them. About a third more.
Well,
as for suicides, 3 times as many men kill themselves.
Yes, but perhaps the women are driving men to it.
Maybe you'd like to come along, too?
Woman, lovely woman, we have been brutes without you.
Most of women have no character.
A noble man is led far by a woman's gentle words.
When toward the devil's house we tread, woman's 1,000 steps ahead.
Now, let's move on to fresher fields, ladies and gentlemen. That is, if there are any men left in our audience. Let us consider the influence of woman. Now, where can we start?
A woman's place is in the home.
Perfect. That's where we'll go.
Are you going to finish your eggs?
No time.
Here's your hat.
Thanks.
Don't forget your briefcase.
Got it.
Bye, dear.
Bye.
Bye, Daddy!
Goodbye, Georgia!
It's enough to drive a male sociologist crazy.
What is?
The influence of women in the home.
What do you mean?
Why, haven't you noticed the poor husband so busy supporting his wife and family gets just about enough time to say,
Bye, Junior!
And gets home again at night with barely time to say,
Night, Junior.
Night, Daddy. Daddy, why don't you stay home and play with me?
Daddy's got to work, Junior.
You see what I mean? The men go out and work all day to get all the things that a woman feels she's entitled to. What happens to the kid?
What?
The kid is left in the hands of Mom, who, in the words of Philip Wiley, is...
Mom is the end product of she.
Well, what's wrong with that?
What's wrong with it? Think, brother, think. It means the child's whole attitude on religion, ethics, morals, tolerance, the home, the family, the nation, sex, and most other things depends on what he gets through his mother, because he only sees his father for a short time every night and weekends.
Say, you got something there.
Of course I have. And what are women like? When the kid comes up to his mother and says...
Gee, Mom, look at the snow fort I made!
What's his mother likely to say?
What?
This.
Oh, Junior, the knees of that snowsuit are so clear through.
Yeah, but if he didn't do anything but stand around and come home unmissed, then he'd hear.
Here's a cookie, Junior, for keeping your hands and clothes clean.
Hey, that's not so good.
It's female domination, that's what it is. No wonder so many men were rejected by the army. Their mothers turned them into neurotics.
I never thought of that, but look, they don't hang on to her skirts forever. They go on to school.
Sure, and who teaches them?
Junior? You stay after school for that, and write, I will not throw spitballs again, on the blackboard 100 times.
75% of all our teachers who look after our children during the most impressionable years of their lives are women. No wonder Philip Wiley in his book Generation of Vipers says,
Our land, subjectively mapped, would have more silver cords and apron strings crossing it than railroads and telephone wires.
Yeah, well, I gotta be on my way.
Oh, say, look, don't go away. I want to go into this forceful stand on women of yours a lot more.
Sorry. Huh? My wife's waiting for me, and if I'm not on time, she'll kill me.
Man has his will, but woman has her way.
Woman is the lesser man.
Cherchez la femme.
Would that we could fall into their arms without falling into their hands.
Apron strings. But how about...
Purse strings, Mr. Grower?
Right, Mr. Vidgate.
Check me in again, Mr. Grower, and we'll see what our poll says about who handles the money.
By all means.
Well, Ben, it looks today as if purse strings are tied to the petticoat.
No.
Yes, in 32% of the families of this country. That's nearly 11 million families. The little woman manages all the money.
Well, you mean, of course, paying for the groceries, buying the children's clothes.
No, I mean...
Hand it over, dearie.
All of it?
You know I mean all of it.
There you are.
Okay, here, this is yours.
Is that all?
Well, it's enough to take care of cigarettes, car fare, and lunch. What else do you want?
32% of all the families.
Right.
In other words, you're telling us...
That in the vast majority of the nation's homes, women either manage all the money or have a mighty big share in doing it.
Oh, me.
Take wealth. How much wealth do you suppose they own or control?
Now, I hesitate to say.
Well, you might. According to a leading insurance company...
Women constitute nearly half the stockholders who own the corporations of America.
Hand me the scissors, dear, will you? I want to clip a coupon.
Ask any railroad executive.
Women own about 48% of us.
And nearly the same amount of public utilities. Ask any banker.
2 out of every 3 mutual saving bank accounts are held by women.
Any automobile dealer would tell you.
We credit women with the purchase of about half the car sold and with influencing the purchase of a lot of the other half. Wonderful people, women.
Even, Ben, and get this, even in men's furnishings, in sporting goods, hardware, where you'd think our influence would be unchallenged.
Yes.
Listen.
Oh, this is a much better tie, John. What's the matter with you?
But I like...
No. We'll take this one.
Yes, ma'am. Would Madam like to see our men's hats?
To put a period on this, Mr. Grauer, in 1946, consumers spent... $123 billion. Take 85% of that and assign it to...
Here's your receipt, madam.
Thank you very much.
So, every year the gals are raiding our billfolds to the tune of about $100 billion.
You can't even comfort yourself with that thought, Ben. They earn much of it themselves. Listen to the director of the Women's Bureau of the Department of Labor.
17 million women are either working or seeking work, and they comprise nearly 30% of our entire labor force. To use a slang phrase, that's not peanuts.
Yes, and park yourself in a chair in front of Secretary of Labor Schwellenbach and listen to...
I wonder what would happen if women should suddenly decide to retire, as some of our Stone Age men keep saying they should. Our hospitals couldn't function, for women are 98% of those who answer the call for...
Nurse.
Coming. Now, what can I do for you, Mr. Parker?
Women comprise all but a small number of our laboratory technicians.
I'll have the x-rays for you in a jiffy.
Almost all are household employees.
This is Mrs. Stanley's residence.
2/3 of those who wait on the public in restaurants and hotels.
The blue plate's very good today, gentlemen.
95% of all telephone operators.
I'm sorry, there's no answer.
The great majority of our office workers, and even in factories, 13% of all workers... making machinery, transportation equipment, automobiles, and furniture are women. And though the percentage is small, they have also entered professions like...
But I sent for a doctor!
I am a doctor. What seems to be the trouble?
And?
Well, my advice to you as your lawyer, Mr. Murphy, is sue, sue, sue!
Most of these 17 million women are not working just to have pin money, but for the same reasons men are, to support themselves and others. And I, for one, say... that it would be a sorry day for the men indeed if women should suddenly decide not to work anymore.
Hey, I wonder how many of them are radio announcers.
A man works from sun to sun. A woman's work is never done.
Women are created for the comfort of men.
A man chases a woman until she catches him.
Can men be free if woman is a slave?
Now, just a minute. Where are we? Have you got all this out there? Seems that women outnumber and outlive us men, even in some ways are the stronger sex. Women control 85% of the spending. Women own a tremendous share of our wealth. Women compose almost 1/3 of our workers. What's going to happen to us poor men? Especially the men these women are married to.
It's already happened, mister. In Coronet, a writer put it this way.
Today, the American husband is a sad imitation of the once dominant male. Instead of being the fountainhead of authority in the home, he is more often than not a timid, cringing, henpecked spouse afraid to assert either his desires or his prerogatives. I know one husband, a professor, who is...
Wilbur!
If I told you once, I've told you 1,000 times not to walk on the living room rug except when company's present.
Yes, dear.
Mr. Lydgate.
Yes, ma'am?
I need your help. Do you believe that that's so, that women are reducing us to a bunch of Casper Milk Toasts and Walter Mitties?
Well, that question has raised a lot of debate before, Ben. All I can tell you is what, as a consequence of a poll we took, husbands' chief complaints are about their wives. Our question was...
What do you think is the chief fault wives have?
8 out of 100 said...
I don't think my wife has any faults.
Now, 14 out of every 100, perhaps victims of battle fatigue, were unable to reply at all. But the others gave their top gripes in these words.
Nag, nag, nag. I don't know what she thinks I'm made of, but I swear she's driving me to drink.
They spend all their money trying to keep up with the Joneses. My wife even picks my pockets at night.
Running the house is strictly a sideline with them.
Too bossy.
Of course, Ben, I could let you have the husbands from their wives' point of view.
No, thanks. Let's keep our eye on the subject, on women.
Pardon the intrusion, friend. Did I hear you say women?
Oh, we said women.
Well, Weaver's my name. Just call me Buck. We're running for re-election.
Oh, well, really, registration's a ways
off. You know, my friend, who will elect the president of the United States this year?
Well, I...
Women. Do you know that if the ladies should suddenly decide to elect their own sex to office... There'd be all of 261 congresswomen in Washington instead of 7, and at least 57 male senators instead of none.
But just a minute here.
Do you know that today it is the women and not the men who hold the balance of political power?
Well, but...
And do you know that in the last year or so, over 1 million more women than men reached legal voting age, and that this November, 60% of the nation's votes will be cast by women?
Well,
goodbye now. See you later.
Oh, well, just a minute. Come
back. Sorry, friend. I'm hunting people with skirts on.
Well, Mr. Lydgate, there we are. Add that women are free to go almost anywhere. Add they can own property, join unions, own businesses, sign checks, run for office, sport pants in public places. In short, it looks as though they've won the battle they started in 1848. But does all this mean that we're a matriarchy, a henpecked nation, or even that women are any happier?
Ben, there's only one conclusion with which we can return to both our wives and men friends with equal safety.
What's that, Mr. Lydgate?
Well... There's a lot to be said for both sides.
At which point, gentle listeners, we discreetly withdraw so that you, both male and female, can say it. Now, a blueprint of future subjects for Living 1948. In the weeks immediately ahead, we will bring you...
Report from a gentleman in mufti. Eisenhower's answer to the question of our security.
And...
As others see us, a European eye view of Uncle Sam.
And next week, a special Eastertide program honoring the Red Cross entitled... I Am With You Always. Living 1948... is prepared and presented for the University of the Air by an NBC public affairs staff under the supervision of Wade Arnold, with scripts written by Lou Hazem, technical advice by Jane Tiffany Wagner, music conducted by Milton Katims, and program direction by James Harvey. Your narrator was Ben Grauer. Our thanks for an assist today to Mr. William Lydgate, editor of the American Institute of Public Opinion. We invite you to keep abreast of Living 1948 by joining us next week. Included in today's program were Marilyn Erskine, Inga Adams, Eileen Palmer,
Abby Lewis, Grace Keddy, Alex Scorby, Dan Ockle, Charles Penman, Ken Williams, and Barry Thompson. Robert Warren speaking. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.